As money gets tighter and tighter, it's going to be very important to start collecting data on the good work that you're doing, because we're going to need to justify that what we're doing is making a change in people's lives. And while we didn't see data, we saw a wonderful program. I would encourage everybody to start go back home and think about, okay, where can we start getting baseline information so we can demonstrate that what we're doing really is valuable to the community. Tasmeen?
Actually, that's a great segue into my presentation. You must have previewed my presentation, because I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about a national program that does require data collection, and states have collected and reported data. And what I'm going to present to you is sort of our assessment of the quality of that data. So it's a great segue. You read my mind. I'd like to start by acknowledging my colleagues, Mike Ely and Lenora Olson, both of whom are in the audience, from the National EMSE Data Analysis Resource Center at the University of Utah. And my name's Tasmeen Singh Week, and I am from the EMSE National Resource Center based at Children's National Medical Center in Washington, D.C. Just to disclose, I don't have any commercial interests, but I am funded by a federal grant from the Health Resources Services Administration and the Maternal and Child Health Bureau as the principal investigator of the National Resource Center. My objectives today really are to describe to you how resource centers provide technical assistance to state and territories, some of the strategies that we use, as well as an assessment of how our technical assistance works. To start off, I'd like to provide you with some background on the Federal Emergency Medical Services, or EMSC, program. This program has been in existence since 1984. It was authorized by Congress to try to improve emergency care for ill and injured children at the state and territory level. It has enjoyed uninterrupted appropriations from Congress since 1985, and that's quite remarkable, particularly in this budget climate. The program's administered through the Maternal and Child Health Bureau of the Health Resources and Services Administration. Most of the funding for EMSC, which is currently at $19.45 million, goes towards giving out grants to states and territories. There are state partnership grants, which will be the focus today, that makes funding available for all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and 5 territories. The program also provides other grants that are more for programs and research. There's targeted issues funding that's available for programs and research studies that relate to topics of national significance. And then there's competitive infrastructure funding for the Pediatric Emergency Care Applied Research Network. In addition, the program funds 2 resource centers, and the purpose of the resource centers is to provide assistance to the 74-plus grantees of the program. The National Resource Center, where I'm from, provides technical assistance and help to states and territories to do some strategic planning. The National EMSE Data Analysis Resource Center, where Mike and Lenora work, is responsible for providing data support to states and territories. So they help with data collection and analysis. As I mentioned, we are going to focus today on the state partnership program. There are 56 states and territories that are eligible to apply for the program. Although funding is available for all states and territories, it is somewhat competitive. Each state has to put in a competitive proposal, and that proposal has to be scored by an independent review panel at HRSA within the funding range in order to obtain funding. So currently, for the current federal fiscal year, there are 45 states that are in year 3 of funding and 9 states that are in year 2 of funding, for a total of 54 states that have funding under this grant program. All of the states have been required to work on performance measures since 2006, and this has been a switch from what states were previously allowed to work on. Previously, states determined the programs that they would spend their EMSC money on. They frequently included programs related to injury prevention, children with special health care needs, education for EMTs and paramedics, etc. Since 2006, all grantees are supposed to work on performance measures, and these performance measures were developed in response to the 1993 Government Performance Results Act. And the way that the performance measures were developed were really through a two-year process. It included a literature review to identify a universal set of potential measures, narrowing of the measures through a working set of measures, convening separate consensus conferences with various stakeholders, both national stakeholders as well as state-level grantees, beta testing the final set of performance measures in three different states, putting the measures through HRSA clearance, which went through the Maternal and Child Health Bureau, and then publication of a final implementation manual that actually told states and territories how they would implement these performance measures. And then there was a national rollout for grantees to learn how to implement these performance measures, and that was at an annual grantee meeting. There were three overall measures, 66, 67, and 68, and these performance measures are in the MCHB numbering system, so performance measures 1 through 65 belong to other programs in the Maternal and Child Health Bureau. 66 is the operational capacity to provide pediatric emergency care, and that's defined through several sub-measures that include the availability of online and offline medical direction for 911 providers, so EMTs and paramedics, pediatric equipment on ambulances, hospital recognition for emergency departments that are capable of dealing with children, and interfacility transfer agreements between hospitals to ensure timely transfer of children. Performance measure 67 is pediatric education during recertification, so the licensure recertification for EMS providers, again, EMTs and paramedics. And then 68 really deals with the permanence of EMSC within state systems. The purpose of this measure is to ensure that if federal funding goes away, that state programs are really institutionalized within the state system. And there are two sub-measures underneath that. One is the establishment of an advisory committee, and the second is having a pediatric representative on the EMS board. The EMS board is typically the governing body for EMS rules and regulations within a state system. There are also additional performance sub-measures of the larger performance measures, and I am not going to focus on that for this presentation. The performance measures have two requirements. There are three performance measures that require data collection, and the data collection performance measures are 66A and B, which was online and offline medical direction and equipment, and that requires that states either survey their 911 providers or they use ambulance inspection reports if they have that system. And then 66D requires a survey of hospitals. The other performance measures don't require any data collection. They're largely yes or no questions. Do you have this in your state, yes or no? And all grantees are required to enter information regarding the performance measures into what's called EHB, which is the HRSA Electronic Handbook. Those of you who are HRSA grantees probably know that system well. What we did was in July 2007 was the very first year that states were submitting data into the EHB from these performance measures. And we conducted an assessment of the states that were eligible to report in that first year, which were about 45 states, to understand how they collected their data and how they reported data into the EHB. So we were trying to understand whether the data they reported was accurate. What we did was ask them several questions related to how they collected data, and then had the database generate a automatic score that assigned points based on how they answered the question. The higher the number of points the states received, it means that they did not follow an approved data collection method. So as I mentioned before, the states were given an implementation manual and asked to follow that manual in order to collect data and report performance measures. If they didn't follow the manual in the way that they collected and reported data, the system kicked out a higher automatic score. In addition to that, we had staff assign them a more qualitative score, and the qualitative score was really based on the amount of technical assistance they felt that the state needed, the amount of assistance they typically provided to a state. And we categorized these as red, yellow, and green, red being states that we considered to require intensive support, yellow being states that required moderate amounts of technical assistance, and green being states that really were doing very well and didn't need much help at all. And what we found is that we had roughly 38% of states that had a score of greater than 400, which we really considered to be red in terms of the technical assistance that should be provided to them based on how well they were doing, and then 42% in yellow and 20% in green. And then the next graph shows you the technical assistance interpretation of how much support was actually given to the state and how much support they thought that the state needed. And as you can see, it's actually fairly comparable. So our technical assistance staff were accurately able to predict where a state fell in terms of their performance. In 2008 was the second year that states submitted data, and what we did was, again, repeat that data assessment to understand whether the states collected data in the correct way. In between 2007 and 2008, we actually issued a new implementation manual. And the new implementation manual was meant to be a little bit clearer on how states needed to collect data and much more directive in how they need to collect data. And this was based on the first year's experience. We also increased the amount of technical assistance that was given to states. There was monthly contact from the National Resource Center. All states were required to start working with the National EMSE Data Analysis Resource Center, NEDARC. So previously, they could choose whether or not they wanted to work with NEDARC. Now we required that they work with NEDARC in order to collect data. And we did some site visits to states as well, to those that we felt were struggling. We also seated a performance measures advisory committee, and this committee was seated from people who actually were grantees and were utilizing these performance measures to give us advice on how to improve the implementation manual. And then we allowed all grantees to provide feedback to us about how the performance measures were structured and implemented. And then, as I mentioned, in 2008, we again repeated our data assessment to understand whether the data that states reported in the HRSA system was accurately reported. And what we found was interesting. We found that there was discrepancy in both years with what states reported into the HRSA system against what we would consider actual data. Again, for 66A, which is online and offline medical direction, in green, you see the 2007, and in blue, you see 2008. In 2007, 20% of states misreported their data for online and offline medical direction, and that number went down slightly to 17% in 2008. However, for 2008, for pediatric equipment, which is 66B on the slides, and interfacility transfer guidelines, which is 66D on the slides, the number of states who actually misreported data went up, which one would question, why would the data go up when you've provided increased technical assistance? What we think is that the reason why discrepancy went up is because the implementation manual did not mirror what was in the HRSA electronic handbook. The language in the HRSA electronic handbook was slightly different than the language in the implementation manual. And although grantees were instructed to follow the implementation manual because the HRSA electronic handbook had not been updated in time, most grantees really read the HRSA electronic handbook for the language that was in there. To give you an example of this, for 66B, the implementation manual asked for data to be collected at the patient care unit level. So in other words, we wanted to know how many ambulances specifically had pediatric equipment. In the HRSA electronic handbook, the language was agencies. How many pre-hospital provider agencies have equipment? And so again, even though the implementation manual directed grantees to enter data by the patient care unit, they may have taken the electronic handbook language a little bit more literally. Another way to look at this is how many states reported meeting the targets for the performance measure. So several performance measures actually have various targets where we ask them, does your state have 90% of ambulances with pediatric equipment, for example. And this slide shows you the percent of states this slide shows you the percent of states that actually collected data the way that we asked them to collect data. So in 2007, for example, for 66A, only 58% of states collected data the way that we told them to collect data. That number went up to 69% in 2008. And you see the same pattern repeated for 66B and D. Basically, we showed between 8 and 21% improvement in the states that were collecting data the way that they should be. So that was one of the big wins for us. We're actually getting states to collect the data as they're supposed to be. Then the next thing we did was look at the states who reported meeting the targets for each of the performance measures. For example, 66A, the target is that by 2011, 90% of states have online and offline pediatric medical direction available. If you see here in 2007, 63% of states reported that they meet that target, whereas in 2008, that number drastically went down to 22%. We believe this is directly because of improved data collection. Once states collected data in a standardized and consistent manner, their numbers showed a drastic difference between what they reported in first and second year. Again, first year data really being data that was not collected with approved collection methods. So this was an eye-opener for us to see that once you collect data in a standardized manner, how vastly different it can look. And you can see again, in total, we had about a 29 to 41% difference between what they reported in the first year and what they reported in the second year. Again, largely, we believe, due to data collection. Now, what about the measures that didn't require data collection? So these are measures which should be fairly accurate in the electronic handbook because it's basically asking, do you have it or do you don't? You either have something in your state or you don't. 66C is hospital recognition. Do you have a hospital recognition system in your state? 67 is pediatric education. Do you have pediatric education requirements? 68A is, do you have an advisory committee? And 68B is, do you have a pediatric representative on your EMS board? And as you can see, there were improvements between first and second year in the performance measures that didn't require data collection. And we believe this is largely due to improvements in strategic planning. For 66C hospital recognition, it improved by about 5%. Pediatric education improved by about 38%. The advisory committee showed the biggest improvement. It was 54%. And we believe this is largely due to technical assistance provided to states to help recruit advisory board members and also a change in the implementation manual where we actually reduced the requirements for how many members in the advisory board would be required. In the first year, 14 members were required on the advisory board. In the second year, we dropped that number down to 8. And you can see the improvement went from 7 to 64. 61%. There was a slight decrease in 68B, which was pediatric representation on the EMS board, and this is largely due to a clarification that the board member had to be voting. So those states who previously reported that they were meeting the measure and then reported that they weren't meeting the measure was because we clarified for them that we expect that the member be a voting member and not just a person who is on the advisory committee. And then lastly, what about technical assistance? So I showed you in year one that we had categorized states as being red, yellow, and green, red being intensive technical assistance needs, yellow being about medium, and green really being states who are in great shape that don't require intensive support. Those numbers really didn't change much between 07 and 08. In fact, in 08, the number of red states, which required the most amount of labor hours from both technical assistance centers, actually increased. And that, in large part, is due to turnover. We experienced a large amount of turnover within state staff. Some of the limitations of what I've just shown you is that we based kind of what we consider actual data based on self-reports from the states, and there's always limitations to self-reported data. The interviews were conducted by our own technical assistance staff, so there is the potential for interview bias there. There were states that reported having issues with entering information into the HRSA electronic handbook. And some states reported that their principal investigators entered data and the program managers had the actual data. And so there was a discrepancy between what the PI thought the data was and what the manager actually showed the data being. And then, as I mentioned before, high turnover in EMSC managers. Some lessons that we've learned is that personnel turnover is a significant factor. It really does hinder progress. A lot of this is anecdotal. That states or territories frequently disagree with the importance of some of the performance measures for their own states, and so that affects how strongly they work on them. that a lot of states are missing the needed infrastructure to deal with national standards and national performance measures, that we need to have implementation manuals that are actually fairly directive to states and how they should implement performance measures, that states need continual monitoring and input, that resource center staff also needed to do some retooling and learning how to provide technical assistance, and we learned a lot of that between year one and two. And that changing focus from state priorities to national priorities is actually fairly difficult for state grantees to do. Again, they went from working on programs that were near and dear to them to having to work on federal performance measures, and that's a little bit hard. So in conclusion, I just want to point out that what our data shows is that state performance measure data collection and reporting can be discrepant with federal instructions, and that data reported into federal systems may or may not always be actual data. That resource center staff are usually able to identify where a state is in terms of progress and performance and needs for technical assistance, and that technical assistance at least results in improved data collection, so that one-on-one training with the states is very, very important. And that technical assistance does result in some improved performance measure implementation. And there's my contact information for questions.
Terrific. Thank you. Is this baby related?
Nephew.
Nephew, gorgeous. Thank you very much. Ooh, this is stuck. Nope, that isn't going to do it. Resume. The mouse is stuck. Oh, here we go. Okay.